Live from San Francisco on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network, you are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with your hosts, Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi.
Are you ready? Are you ready? Let's get it on!
How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvarez here on Wrestling Observer Live. We are here every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. I got tons of stuff to talk about here today. A lot of news. Dave Meltzer is going to be joining us in the second segment of the show, talking the newest edition of the Wrestling Observer newsletter. Got to start with bad news today. The death of Dirty Dick Slater. Dirty Dick Slater, 67 years old, heart complications. Born Richard Van Slater, he was best known for his runs in WCW and Georgia Championship Wrestling with plenty of stops in between. A former football player and amateur wrestler. Slater began his career in 1972 in Florida under Mike Graham, trained by Bill Watts, Hiro Matsuda, Bob Roop, and Jack Briscoe. He eventually found his way to GCW for an 11-year run, winning several singles and tag team titles. In the mid-80s, worked for Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling, where he was a wrestler and a booker, and Mid-South Wrestling. After an uneventful 1 year in WWF, he went to All Japan Pro Wrestling as mainly a tag team act before coming to WCW in 1989, where he'd stay until 1996, when a back injury ended his career. Worked mainly in tag teams, working with Dick Murdoch, Dusty Rhodes, Terry Funk, The Great Muta, Greg Valentine, and Bunkhouse Buck, the latter of which earned him the Worst Tag Team Award in the 1995 Wrestling Observer Newsletter Awards. Won a slew of NWA titles, including the U.S. title, tag titles, TV title, among other regional belts. And yes, in June of 2004, Slater was convicted of attacking his former girlfriend with a butcher's knife and was sentenced to a year of house arrest and 2 years of probation, putting the dirty in Dirty Dick Slater. He's passed away at the age of 67. We could talk about that if you have any memories of him. We have the SmackDown ratings. They beat Raw. Not quite as exciting as it sounds, but they beat them. We have new trainees at the WWE Performance Center, including Matt Riddle, who has already debuted on NXT television. We have NXT stars working at Madison Square Garden in December. What does that mean? Shane McMahon, NXT, Mae Young Classic. And did anybody watch the NXT UK show? Let me know. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help.
800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. 800-754-4531. That's 800-754-4531.
If you or a loved one is suffering from a physical or emotional condition that has left you unable to work, then listen carefully. Take this number down. 800-593-7491. That's 800-593-7491. When you call, you'll speak with a Social Security disability expert and get a free evaluation to see if you may qualify for disability insurance benefits from the U.S. government. That's right, a monthly cash payment paid directly to you from the Social Security Administration. Whether you're applying for the first time or you've already been denied disability benefits, call now. The disability attorneys at Pinnacle Disability can help you build your case, file an appeal, and represent you at no upfront cost to you. Don't wait another minute to see if you may qualify for your Social Security disability benefits. Call Pinnacle Disability Group at 800-593-7491 for your free case evaluation. That's 800-593-7491. 800-593-7491. Call now.
You've seen him on national television. You've heard him on national radio. Kevin Todd, president and CEO of thesportsbrokers.com, is releasing his underdog game of the month. The wrong team is favored. It's yours absolutely free. Call now, 800-220-6262. The line on this game is off by 10 to 14 points. Start your football season on a winning note. There's no one better against the spread than Kevin Todd. Become part of Kevin Todd's inner circle and you'll have access to his upset specials. Dogs winning outright. Favorites running away to win by 3 to 4 touchdowns. Let him earn your business. Let thesportsbrokers.com show you how to win consistently. Call now and get today's underdog winner outright. 800-220-6262. Absolutely free. Kevin Todd is the nation's number one sports handicapper. He's the professional the professionals turn to. It's yours absolutely free at 800-220-6262. That's 800-220-6262. Kevin Todd turns outcomes into incomes. Call now. 800-220-6262.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also WrestlingObserver.com. Lots to get into today. We'll talk more about Dick Slater when Dave comes on here in the second segment of the show. But a couple of notes here. First off, I promised yesterday that I would address Marco Stunt here on the show today. I will later. I'm too much stuff to get into at the moment, but fear not. For just the second time since SmackDown went live in July of 2016, the show has beaten Raw. SmackDown 1000, 2.545 million viewers, the show's best number since since April 24, so earlier this year. And here's the thing, everybody. It sounds impressive. It's really not. The reason it beat Raw was because Raw did so bad. The Raw 1000, or the Raw 25, it's like 4.5 million viewers. Obviously, this one was not promoted nearly as strong, but 4.5 million viewers for Raw 25, like late last year or something like that. This one, 2.5 million. And this wasn't even close to the highest rated SmackDown of the year. I think it was the 12th highest rated.
Yeah, 13th, something like that.
So the story here is really that Raw is just doing terrible against football. And SmackDown really promoted this show hard. And it's kind of, listen, who knows what's going to happen? A lot can change in a year, okay? But next October, this show moves to Fox. And I don't know what number they need, but my guess would be between 3.2 and 3.5 million viewers, okay? Now, that's on a weekly basis. If they're doing 2.5 million viewers, they're probably going to be canceled and they're going to be sent to FS1 or something like that. But this is network television. So merely being on network television, this number is going to go up. Is it going to go up a full million viewers? I'm very skeptical. I mean, if you want to look at the numbers of people that have USA Network available, the number of people that have Fox, and look at the percentage and add that percentage into 2.5, if you want to do math, because I can't, you can find out what we're talking about here, but this 2.545 million, that's with everything that they promoted. The return of Rey Mysterio. The return of Edge. The return of Batista. The reuniting of Evolution. Tag team champ. All of this stuff. 2.545 million viewers. And keep in mind, that's on a Tuesday. SmackDown's moving to Friday on Fox. Anybody want to take bets now on 3.5 million? I'm thinking under. But I guess we'll see.
Looking at the Fox ratings here, the TV series finale.com. Fox 2017-18 season ratings updated September 24th, 2018. So looking at the viewers in millions some of these shows get. Summer TV shows, MasterChef, which was renewed, 3.5 million people. Let's see, 24 Hours to Hell, another Gordon Ramsay one, 3.3 million people. And there's ones like Beat Shazam. I don't even know what that is. 2.2 million people. That was not renewed.
Well, I don't think Beat Shazam is going to be in a primetime slot. I could be wrong. Hey, listen, I could be wrong.
Well, the Mick, which was canceled, 2.1 million viewers. LA to Vegas, which was canceled, 2.3 million viewers. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. It did a lot worse than I would have thought it did, and it was, I guess, picked up by NBC again. But 1.7 million viewers. So the ones that are down there, Ghosted canceled, 2.1 million viewers. Yeah, I don't know. I always heard that, like, MasterChef Junior and shows like that, they were getting around 3 million, a little bit under that.
Okay, Beat Shazam was Tuesdays.
Okay, but like MasterChef Junior, I'm pretty sure it was like a Friday. I know they would put a lot of that sort of stuff on Fridays, and even that got around 3 million viewers, so that seems to be the line right there.
It's got to be 3.2 million somewhere
around
there.
Yeah, it has to be, and 2.5 million just isn't going to be enough. I mean, they had a Showtime at the Apollo special that got 2.45 million. It's... I don't know. And Friday is a tough night, and things are changing when it comes to...
And hey, listen, it's exactly 1 year from now. So it's going to be the same kind of competition. Like, it's not going to be like, well, you know, SmackDown does better in the spring. Well, it's not debuting in the spring. It's debuting in the fall. It's debuting it's almost exactly 1 year from now. So this SmackDown, with a packed lineup doing 2.5 million viewers, I mean, moving to Fridays in a year on Fox, like, they need to average, not just for, like, a hot show, they need to average 3 to 3.2 million viewers.
And I know they were, you know, they Rupert Murdoch, they were very clear that they were going to saturate FS1 and any sports programming that airs on any channel when it comes to sports, whether it's on Fox or on Fuel or FS2. They were going to have a bunch of WWE ads. Now, I'm assuming that's because, like they do with all of their shows, they're going to run ads. I don't know if that's necessarily going to help and be the case. It's going to take a concerted effort from WWE, obviously, to turn that into the A show, at least for a little while, by loading it up as much as they possibly can. But it's really going to rely on Fox to pump this show during all of the other programming with all of the other people that aren't going to naturally watch the show, that aren't sports fans. That's where you really start to corral your audience. You have your baseline, but all of the other people need to come in from somewhere else desperately.
Let's do some of these texts here, because this plays into some of the news here today. This person here says he meant to send this a couple of days ago, but Dave talking about Ronda Rousey's promo on Raw being so great because of how she believed everything that was written in her promo were her exact thoughts, my exact thoughts. Unlike that script Becky Lynch had to forcefully utter when she turned heel and blamed her fans, which was a complete 180 from this. So here's the story, everybody, if you haven't heard. That Ronda Rousey promo on Monday that I thought was excellent, with the exception of a few lines, she wrote the entire thing herself. She did not have a writer. She wrote that. Now, here's the funny thing about it, okay? I thought it was excellent, with the exception of a couple of lines that I put on Twitter, if you'd like to go back and find them. Something about the Bellas would have to be eradicated like smallpox or something like that. And
we all know what they are.
Guess what? She wrote those lines.
Well, they weren't any good, Ronda. I'm sorry. The rest of it was fantastic, but those lines, no good.
That's how she talks. So that one and the one about the Bella's name being a stain on a societal stain or something like that, she wrote that. That's how she talks.
Well,
so if you didn't believe it, I don't know what to tell you. That's Ronda Rousey. And hey, listen, if it takes the people writing their own damn promos to cut a good promo, then get rid of these stupid writers. I've been talking about this forever. That was the best promo she's ever cut, and she wrote it.
And the fans, and look, fans are... They are giving her space. I think everybody is well aware that she's going to be a work in progress, which is taking place right in front of us. And I know there are all these people that want to see Ronda fail. I think there are far more of them that are willing to sit back and see how this thing goes. And it really is, in some ways, I know it probably annoys the hell out of people that these three are feuding with each other. But I think it's actually a really good one for Ronda. Finally, we have a situation where the fan favorites aren't out, like, you know, outnumbering the heels like New Day usually does with people. You have two heels. They come from a different era. There's a little bit of truth that they speak in that, yes, our show is called Total Divas. We are making money off of divas. You guys don't want to have anything to do with that, but we open these doors for you. And the way they play off each other, Ronda's real life, you know, athletic background, and the Bellas being beauty queens, which came in, everything about it just seemingly really works. And just the fact that she was able to write that promo herself, they're giving her that room to do that, and she pulled it off so well. It obviously is adding to the lore of this.
So I got a question here. This is, I'm sure, based on the Mae Young Classic. This person says, I wonder, obviously it's about the Mae Young Classic. I wonder if Zaya Brookside got squashed strictly to let it be seen that a PC trainer's kid was paying their dues and not being put over anyone so young. Here's what I was told a couple of weeks ago about the Zaya Brookside thing, okay? I was told that the whole idea was that Zaya and Io Shirai have worked together in Stardom. And so their idea was, we'll put them in the main event of this particular show. They'll have a blow-away match because they've worked together before. Io Shirai will look awesome. It's not going to hurt Zaya. We can do something with her later. She's only 19, 20 years old. And that's the story. Now, to me, the way they did the match, it didn't come off like that at all. It was just like a total squash match. But that was what their idea was going in. That's why that happened. Back in a moment with Dave Meltzer, Wrestling Observer Live.
Not too long ago, it felt good to withdraw your cash from the bank, didn't it? For a vacation or a new car. But today, withdrawing your own cash has become risky. Pat Boone here for Swiss America. According to The Secret War, a new Swiss America white paper, I learned that all banks are now required to spy on you and me for the government and then report any financial behavior deemed suspicious or unusual. You must read The Secret War. It's free. Truth is, I believe the government's new war against cash is really a war against us all. But the secret is now out. So please, get and read The Secret War.
Pick up your phone and call right now. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. 800-932-5517. Once again, that's 800-932-5517.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
855-325-1780. 855-325-1780. That's 855-325-1780.
If you or someone you love suffers from drug addiction, now is the time to utilize your private health insurance PPO plan. If eligible, receive up to $30,000 or more in substance abuse benefits with low or no out-of-pocket cost. We are the National Treatment Network, the premier drug and alcohol treatment referral service operating 24/7. We help connect you with facilities nationwide that accepts PPO private health insurance for substance abuse. If you have PPO substance abuse coverage and you need immediate admittance to a medical detox or residential rehab treatment center, call us now. Call our live referral helpline today. The call is free. This program is not available to Medicare or Medicaid customers.
Call 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252, 800-296-1252. That's 800-296-1252.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervive on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervive, also WrestlingObserver.com. Dave Meltzer joining us at the moment, talking all sorts of news. The new Observer should be up at any time. It's finished, just waiting to be posted. And Dave, first off, tell us a little bit about the life of Dirty Dick Slater.
Oh, he was an interesting character. I saw him from the very start of his career in 72, 73 when he was coming out of college football. He played at University of Tampa. He was... went to high school with Hulk Hogan and Mike Graham, among others, and at Robinson High. And he was a very good amateur wrestler, very good football player, played college football, and in wrestling was known as a tough guy and a great worker, very similar. Always, you know, he idolized Terry Funk and tried to copy Terry Funk. And he was a big, big star, Mr. Excitement Dick Slater in Florida and Georgia and, you know, the Southeastern Championship Wrestling and Mid-South Wrestling. He was a main eventer and multi-time champion, you know, especially Florida. He was one of the real big stars of that late 70s period. And I think when the territory days ended, I think that's really when his stardom went down. He went to WWF, and they just didn't do anything with him. And after that point, he was kind of typecast as no longer a main eventer, so it kind of hurt his career, although he still, you know, maintained stardom in Japan and stuff. And then injuries, you know, finished his career, and he had a very bad post-wrestling career, life, plagued with injuries. He got in a lot of legal issues. He stabbed his girlfriend at one point and was put in house arrest. He did not have a good ending of his career once wrestling ended at all. He was really famous in wrestling for being a tough guy, street fighter, you know, knocked out John Matuszak in a bar fight when they were both in college, and everybody was afraid of him. He was used as an enforcer by the Florida promotion. If guys wanted to become wrestlers, they sent him in with Slater, and Slater would hurt him. I mean, that's how it was done in those days. You know, whether it's good or bad, he was a badass guy.
What's the story with his butcher's knife and his ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, he had a lot of problems late in life, and stabbed his ex-girlfriend. Yeah, and there were a lot of issues with him. That wasn't the only one, but that was probably the one that got the most headlines.
Are we talking likely drug use in his post-wrestling and wrestling career, or
well,
could it possibly be
heavy,
some
heavy painkiller use? As far as recreational drugs, he was from that era, the heavy drinking era and everything like that. But he had a lot of injuries from his wrestling career. He was a big bump taker. You know, some guys go through and don't get hurt, and some guys do. But, you know, he was doing sports from a young age at a high level. He was a national caliber amateur wrestler, not at so much the collegiate level, but at the high school level. And he was from that era where, you wrestled all the time. When you were hurt, you wrestled. You didn't take time off, especially when you were a top guy. And he worked very, very hard. I mean, he was an excellent worker. He was a big star, but he would have been an even bigger star if he didn't have those issues. Because I remember in St. Louis, I mean, they were going to go all the way with him, and that was the number one city in the country. And they made him Missouri champion, and then he started, missing dates and being hard to deal with. So they just had to get that Missouri belt off him, I think it was. And then he was never pushed in that world title level in that city, which could have taken his career to a new level. I don't know what to say. He made a lot of bad choices, and then wrestling changed, and his kind of guy, he didn't really fit into that WWF mold. He was older by then. He didn't have the great body. He had the rep, but it was that Southern rep, and it didn't mean anything to Vince. So Vince just used him as an enhancement guy, and it pretty much killed his career.
Is it possible that some of this could be CTE related? I mean, what kind of style did he work? Did he
Terry Funk style? I mean, if you think of Terry Funk, mannerisms and everything. I mean, Dick Slater idolized Terry Funk. He copied Terry Funk. I suppose. I never really, I'd have to ask around to his friends as far as mental capacity. I never really heard that aspect of it so much, but drug issues for sure, yeah.
Dave, two questions for you. One, the story of Wahoo McDaniel pistol whipping a man and then shooting Dick Slater in the leg in the process of, you talked about him not missing any time, apparently did not miss much time due to that. How true is that story? And basically he wrestled after basically digging the bullet out, correct?
I don't remember how quick he wrestled. He missed some dates and Wahoo paid him for the dates he missed because he felt guilty about that happening. But the story's real. Yeah, yeah. Those were wild guys, you know. I mean,
well, attached to that, I wanted to ask you, and I know it doesn't have to do directly with Dick Slater, but John Matuszak, who I remember as obviously a former football player who became an actor, he died very young of an overdose of, I think, Darvocet. Now,
painkillers, yeah.
One, how close was he to ever to getting into wrestling? Because he seemed like he would be a natural for it, although I know he was.
It doesn't ring a bell to me, but we always used to talk about it because he had the personality and he had the size and he had the name. And it was like, and he had the background. And, you know, he went to college. He played football in college with Dick Slater and with Paul Orndorff. And, you know, so it was like he had the connections. The Florida guys knew him. I don't know if it was ever close, but yeah, I mean, I remember we used to always talk when he played for the Raiders about, you know, he came in that era, right in that era where football players were now making enough money where they didn't wrestle in the off season, but there were still, I mean, it was still open and it was still, I absolutely remember talking with the idea of like John Matuszak and Teddy Hendricks was another one about like these guys, Bill Frelick was another one where, you know, they were, because they were such characters and such big guys, that they would have been big pro wrestling stars.
And I remember him dying because it was 89, and I just can't recall because I was just too young and I haven't really thought about it before now. Was there any buzz at all in the same way that a lot of people had some churning stomachs and regret after Rick McGraw, even though they plowed forward? Was there ever a feeling in football and wrestling and anybody that knew Matuszak that, oh God, this could be on the tip of something, or did people just blow by it?
Because it was there wasn't like a preponderance of that in football. People pretty much took it like an isolated incident. You know what I mean? Like
Hollywood pill guy, because it happened with women and things like that. You know, the stories of drinking and painkillers in Hollywood and things like that. Was it ever attached to that more than it really was sports at that point?
There weren't so many in sports to where like it became like in the 90s with pro wrestling, where you just were inundated with it. You had to be like ignorant not to make connections. I mean, it wasn't that prevalent in football, so it was kind of like, it was definitely seen as an isolated thing, more than, oh my God, there's a problem. But you know, in that era in football, and probably today, but certainly in that era in football, you know, the painkiller stuff was really out of hand. I mean, it's almost like when I think back on that era, you know, you wonder how come it didn't have the same problems that wrestling had later. Because they did have the painkillers and they did have the steroids, especially when they weren't testing for drugs. You know, and players had longer careers and had more injuries. I think they had longer careers. I never did the math, but it felt like it to me. There wasn't so much of a, you know, that assembly line thing. You know, when football players seemed to have longer careers back then. I may be inaccurate on that.
Well, listen, I'm not a doctor, okay? But I think that some of it's just like the studies on mice with CTE, where if they take steroids, the CTE seems to
accentuates it.
Sure, but I think that there's also, this is just my thought, just from reading about the brain, that if you're like a heavy drinker, you're going to have severely disrupted sleep, even though it seems like you drink and pass out. It's like it's not really a deep.
Yeah, it's not as good as sleep. It's not as
no,
good
and I and that's yeah. one of the that's one of the things with people that have brain issues is if you don't get enough sleep. We're talking about now somebody who is in a contact sport, they're taking steroids, and because of the drinking, they're not getting a good night's sleep every night. That also
they're killing brain cells.
Yeah, that could exasperate it.
Absolutely. I think that makes complete sense.
And I don't know what the sleeping schedule of the football players were, but I think that based on the fact that there is an off-season, and in wrestling there is no off-season, you're living this life 365 days a year on the road. You're probably drinking every single night, not getting good sleep every single night. I mean, all of this can add up.
Yeah, it was a wild lifestyle. I mean, those guys, you know, the Slater generation didn't die that young. 67's young, but the Slater generation like came kind of before the generation where it really hit. And Slater, I don't know if Slater ever did steroids or anything. He didn't look like it. You know, that doesn't mean he didn't do it. But he had a good body, but it wasn't a steroid body. It was like a football player athlete body. But like a normal pro, he had a normal pro wrestler body. That's why when in 84, when Vince was into the bodies, you know, Slater was just a guy, even though from a worker standpoint and a rep standpoint, you know, he was, you know, a step below a legend, really. But to Vince, you know, he's just some guy he couldn't push.
Well, hell, he brought him in as a good guy, as the Rebel from Richmond, Virginia, which was always bizarre. I don't know, for me it was.
That I remember, because, you know, again, yeah, the Rebel in 1984 wasn't much. And also, Slater was, Slater could be a baby face and a good one, and he was, like, in Georgia and places like that, but he needed the heel run before turning. You know, he was that kind of a guy. He doesn't come in as a smiley baby face. That never worked. He had to get over as, like, a tough guy, badass. And then when he turns, you know that he's, like, this tough guy. So this coming in as a baby face and that little thing that he did. Yeah, I was so disappointed in Slater and WWF.
Well, actually, I hate to cut you off, but we got to head to a break. But thanks so much, Dave. We'll talk about this more on Observer Radio. Back in a moment, Wrestling Observer Live. You don't gotta go to work.
And my body do the work. Attention business owners. Are you struggling while waiting for your customers to pay on their net 30, 60, or 90-day invoices? Can't get a business loan? Have no equity? Bad credit? Or maybe no credit at all? Then you need to call AmeriFactors right now. AmeriFactors will give you cash for your invoices and there's nothing to pay back. We simply buy your account receivables, and if those clients don't pay on the invoices, we take the loss. We give you funds based on your account receivables, not your credit, and 98% of all applicants are approved. It's that simple. With AmeriFactors, there's no more waiting for your customers to pay. We give you the funds up front, then we wait for your customers to pay us. Fund your business today. Call AmeriFactors right now.
800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. 800-847-1183. That's 800-847-1183.
It has been said that everyone has a book in them, but do you have the time or the ability to write your book? Maybe you picked up some skills or had a life experience that you want to pass on in the form of a book to help others. Maybe you want to leave an autobiography for your family, or maybe you've built a successful business and you want to share your story. At Dorrance Publishing Company, we have professional writers who can help turn your book idea into a finished manuscript quickly and affordably. A Dorrance ghostwriter can provide as much or as little help as you need to complete your book. You'll work directly with your ghostwriter to finish your book faster than you ever could on your own. It's easy to become a published author. Call Dorrance now to learn more.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. Call right now. That number is 800-485-6003.
Do you use the blue pill to charge your sex life? Have you been thinking about trying the blue pill? What if we can promise you the same results for less than $3 a pill? If you're paying $20 a pill for the other pills, you're getting taken to the cleaners. Our pill delivers the exact same results for less than $3. We'll do the math for you. You'll save more than $16 a pill for the same results. Want more? We'll give you 40 blue pills or 40 yellow pills for $99 and add 4 more pills free. You save more than $500. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know what to do next. You need to call and get your 44 pills for just $99. Stop overpaying for the other blue pills. Call us and start saving a ton of money for the exact same results. Ordering is fast and easy with your pills delivered to your door in a non-marked package. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. 800-223-0992. That's 800-223-0992.
It's a new day. Yes, it is.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. I want to play something for everybody. I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but let's see if I can load this baby up. Hold on. Here we go.
Alvarez, Brian, nice to be talking about you. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of you. You finally stepped up to the plate and you stopped ducking me. I mean, first it was Eric Bischoff. You ducked him, and I kind of get that one. That one would make me nervous, too. I wouldn't want to make a fool of myself either. But then you start ducking me. What have I ever done to you, man? You're the one that called me out. So I just returned the favor. And I've been hearing a lot about, oh, Brian used to do this, Brian used to do that. Used to. Well, I still am. I'm doing it right now. I'm doing more than you ever did and more than you ever will, Brian. So the fact that you answered this challenge and we're going to wrestle is a very big mistake for you.
Can you imagine?
Hmm.
So, by the way, everybody, if you want to hear that for yourself again, God only knows why, I've retweeted it up there on my Twitter at Brian Alvarez. It is up there right now. Hopefully, he'll put his shirt on next time. I don't know what he was thinking. So, I want to say one thing very quickly here. Okay, just want to say one thing. All right.
Yeah.
Do some math for me, okay? Because it's not my strong point.
Good.
Marco Stunt is 22 years old.
22.
Okay. What year was he born?
22 years ago, so that would be...
I'll help you. 1996.
1996, yes.
1996.
Yes, three years out of high school for you, right?
1996, I'd already been doing this newsletter for a year.
Yeah.
Okay. Despite what Wikipedia says about my professional wrestling debut, I have been wrestling in front of live crowds since 1990.
Does granny count?
1990. That's 6 years before this kid was born, okay? Mm-hmm. 1994, 1995, every week on Seattle Public Access, we had a professional wrestling television show. I was working there every single week. Yeah, 1998, we actually got into a ring, did real promotions. That doesn't mean that's my actual debut. I've been working since before Marco Stunt has been born. Now, on top of all of that, I've been watching Marco Stunt matches. And listen, as much as I rattled medals in here, I talked about my gymnastics acumen and all of that, reality is I am 43 years old, okay? If the two of us went and had a gymnastics competition, Marco Stunt's probably going to beat me. He's very, very talented. I believe he may even still be teaching tumbling to this day. He's very, very athletic. He is a better high flyer than I am.
Really?
He is a better high flyer than I am right now, okay? I admit that. Wow. Yeah, he's working more matches right now than I am. That's true. There's a reason that I saw him in that match for AAW, and I thought, I would like to have a match with this kid. I was very impressed with his talent. Now, with that said, what I can't rattle here on the air is my jiu-jitsu black belt. I'm going to tell you why I'm bringing that up right now. Not because I'm going to go in there and Khabib him, although I will. But I want to bring it up because I want to point out that of all of these things that I am capable of doing, that I have done, and that Marco Stunt is capable of doing, and that he has done, there is one huge difference between the two of us, okay?
All right.
I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I'm like the best jiu-jitsu guy in the world, okay? If I went in there with Filthy Tom, he's going to slaughter me, okay? If I went and did a bunch of competitions, I'd win some, I'd lose some. I'm not the best guy in the world. But you know what I do have because of that jiu-jitsu black belt?
What?
I have a target on me. Every single day that I go and teach class, and every single day when class is over and we do 1 hour of rolling, who is the one guy in the school that has a target on him unlike everybody else? It's me, because I'm the instructor and I'm the black belt. The white belts, the blue belts, the purple belts, the brown belts, the other black belts, I have a target on me. And so unlike Marco Stunt, For years, I have been slaughtered on a regular basis. Do you understand what I'm saying? We had this guy named Thad. He was a fireman. He looked exactly like his name sounds, Thad. He was this big, strong, tough fireman who was so strong, by the way, that they had that gimmick that you squeeze with your, you kind of squeeze it to see like how much pressure you can exert and Like, the strongest guys got
the
up to, like,
strength thing,
yeah, they got up to 120 if you were, like, super strong. This dude squeezed that and went all the way up to 160. Okay? This guy put the worst beatings on me for years. He was, like, 200 pounds. He was so strong. He was so good, and he just smashed me. He smashed me left and right. My instructor, Justin, for years, he smashed me. He beat the living hell out of me. We had a guy that started a while ago. He worked on a fishing boat, okay? So he'd go to Alaska, and he'd fish, and then he'd come back and he'd do jiu-jitsu. He had been an amateur wrestler. He was like 220 pounds. He's just shredded. He's like the strongest guy you ever seen. People called him Tugboat, and not because he was fat like the wrestler. This guy smashed, he mutilated me on a regular basis. I get beat up all the time, okay? I'm used to that. Marco Stunt has never taken a vicious pounding in his life. He's been beaten in pro wrestling. He's been thrown hither and yon. He's been pinned. I'm sure he's been submitted. He has never been tortured the way that I have been tortured for longer than he's been alive. So that is the difference between me and Marco Stunt. People go, oh, well, you're 43, he's 22, you're practically twice his age. You're right. You are absolutely right. And in that time that I have been alive, I have taken more of a beating. I've taken more of a beating, like, on a weekly basis than he's probably ever taken in his professional wrestling career. So, during this match on November 3rd, I made it abundantly clear. There's not going to be any flying. There's not going to be any goofy wrestling. It's going to be a extended, by the way. So, I want to make sure that everyone gets their money's worth. Like, if you pay your ticket price, this is not going to be over in 2 minutes. It is going to be a long, drawn-out, potentially boring slaughter. And on top of that, yesterday, I said, for every retweet that his promo got, I was going to chop him one time. One time for every retweet. Do you know how many retweets it's at right now? 232.
Ooh.
It's going to be a long damn night for Marco Stunt. November 3rd, Black Label Pro. If you can get to Crown Point, Indiana, I recommend you get there. I don't think there's any front row tickets, so you won't be in the splash zone. You'll avoid having blood all over you, which in fact did happen in that Khabib fight. But you can grab it on Powerbomb TV as well. And we will have a promo code, which you will appreciate over the next couple of days here. So just wanted to get out of the way. I'm done. Let's go back to the show. This person here, regarding the...
You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm doing great.
So your soul's tortured a little bit too, along with your
Are you kidding
body.
Me? First says, I watched NXT UK. Not bad for a first show. They featured all the big names, like British Strong Style and Tony Storm. I'm a Progress fan, though. I prefer to just watch it. So there you go.
Well, at least somebody watched it. Again, this is not to insult the show. It's the fact that there's a lot of programming, and there are a lot of things happening right now in WWE where there are going to be some stuff that falls into the earth a little bit, and we'll have to see what exactly it is. Again, as long as it's successful in the UK, I guess that's good. How much it actually gets on the network here, I guess is to be determined.
So I'm just going to tell everybody this right now. If you do not want to hear NXT spoilers, and I will go as far as say potential NXT spoilers, because I'm not entirely sure that this is the case. But we're going to talk some NXT spoilers here, so you may want to back off here for a little while. And I'm doing this because I've got a million texts about this. We'll start with Hamish. So they actually turned Johnny Gargano heel on NXT. As much as I believe in Triple H and his storytelling and how good of a heel Gargano can be, the turn is a total main roster move. Giving up on your top babyface because you couldn't book him to beat the top heel like they did with Sami Zayn and tried with Bayley. Well, Hamish, my friend, I predicted 6 months ago, actually, that they were going to go heel with Johnny Gargano. So that right there means it's not a main roster thing, because if it were a main roster thing, he would have been a babyface yesterday, and today he's just a heel. They've actually at least done a turn where I, as a viewer watching it, with no inside information about which direction they were going to go with him, I thought they're going to do a heel turn with Johnny Gargano. And yes, I believe that they didn't go far enough with Johnny Gargano as a babyface. I think he was an exceptional babyface.
Yeah.
But the reality is, the storyline that they've been doing, dating back to at least WrestleMania, and probably before, he hasn't even been the top babyface for months and months and months now. He's been that weird tweener character where you're not sure which way he's going to go. And it does appear that he was the one that attacked Aleister Black. So I guess we'll find out on television. But he's going to be a great heel, everybody. He's going to be a great heel. My question is, what does it have to do with Ciampa? Are they going to reunite as heels?
Well, I mean, that could be where you end up getting Johnny back as the good guy, too, as you go through this little bit of a spell where Gargano is completely beaten. He's even going a little bit nuts. And Ciampa, you know, if I can't beat him, maybe I join him. And then I get him. And then he gets his title back. He finally reunites. Obviously, I'm playing this into the future with Candice LeRae. But, you know, she's going to play a part, I would assume, in this. As him as a heel, and who knows where this goes. It's tough for me to believe that forever Johnny Gargano is going to be king heel, although we'll see what happens.
Person here says, I noticed a few of the points Ronda made in her promo were the same that was brought up in an opinion article all the women were upset about a month ago from Ronda. Why is it okay for Ronda to point these things out, or are the women wrestlers now upset with her too? Well, the thing with storylines like this is, they like to do promos where there is a semblance of reality there. But everyone's on the same page. Like, everything that she said about the Bellas, everything that the Bellas said about her, it's not like none of this was planned out in advance. Like, everybody knows what everybody's going to say. The Miz, Daniel Bryan storylines, I mean, they pushed each other's buttons, and some of the stuff on the, what was it called, the SmackDown show afterwards? SmackDown.
Talking smack.
Talking smack, yeah. Like, some of that stuff was off the cuff, and they knew the buttons to push with each other. But in general, like, nobody was saying anything that they thought was really. This is not like the Austin Aries Johnny Impact thing where, you know, Aries calls his girlfriend Husky. I'm quite certain that he did not okay that first. He just said something, and it all went awry. Like, it's a very scripted show, even if somebody else is writing the script. I'm sure there's a little bit of resentment towards Ronda. Sure, there's a little bit of resentment towards the Bellas.
Sure.
You can't have a wrestling company where some people aren't resenting other people.
You can't have anything without somebody resenting somebody else, I don't think. And you get enough people working together, all going after the same spotlight. So.
I mean, hey, listen, Mike, you know as well as anybody, the stuff they're doing with Omega and Tanahashi in a promotion where largely everybody loves and respects each other. If you listen to their promos, you can hear there's like a little bit of underlying resentment right there. They're still going to have a great match. They still respect each other. But I'm sure that Omega believes some of what he's saying, as does Tanahashi.
Yeah, look, hey, if you don't think that you're the best, if you don't want to make people believe that you're the best, you know, what good are you? So, yeah, I mean, there's natural competition in sport and in anything, and especially in this business.
Back in a moment with more Wrestling Observer Live.
Hi, Rick Tittle here. You may know me as the sports talk host. I can talk about all sports: football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, golf, tennis, auto racing, boxing, Olympics, rollerball. But this time I'm here to talk about pain. If you have pain in your knee or your back like I do, then you should know about the Health Alert Hotline. If Medicare is your primary insurance, then you could qualify for a back or knee brace at little or no charge. I have an old injury from my football playing days. And anything that can help take that pain away and make it more manageable, that has my attention. I love the free delivery, and they take care of the paperwork for you. So if you have Medicare and need help for back, ankle, knee, or shoulder pain, please call the Health Alert Hotline at 800-428-1570. That's 800-428-1570. Agents are standing by 24/7, so go ahead and call now, 800-428-1570.
Attention to anyone that's written a book or wants to write a book. The process is not that complicated. Take a first step. Even if you write a page a day, you'll build momentum and your book will become a reality. The hard part is getting it published. That's when you need to call Page Publishing. They've got hundreds and hundreds of thank yous from different new authors, just like you. They make the process of publishing your new book and getting it sold online a simple process. You can learn how simple it is right now by calling for your free Page Publishing new author submission kit. One quick 3-minute phone call, that's all it takes to get free information and learn how you can get your book published. Pick up your phone right now and call us 24 hours a day at this number. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. 800-603-0885. That's 800-603-0885.
Where do you want to go on a vacation or honeymoon? The Caribbean, Europe, Hawaii, Mexico? How about Disney or a cruise? At Superior Cruise and Travel, we've got you covered. We'll assign you your own travel concierge. They'll help you design a custom vacation plan that you can't find online. And the service is completely free. You can't compare the value of this to any other online travel company. We can help you plan a custom vacation anywhere in the world. We even offer payment plans with no credit card required. Now you pay off your vacation on your time schedule. Call now and mention the promo code RADIO and save up to $500. Book your custom trip. Call Superior Cruise and Travel now and talk to one of the highest rated travel agencies in the country with a 5-star A+ online rating.
800-570-9631. 800-570-9631. 800-570-9631. That's 800-570-9631.
You are listening to Wrestling Observer Live with Brian Alvarez and Mike Sempervivi on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Back in the show, Brian Alvarez here, Wrestling Observer Live. Mike Sempervivi, also of WrestlingObserver.com. Tonight, I'll be watching the NXT show, NXT US, and the Mae Young Classic, where, yes, Tegan Nox breaks her leg.
No, which, blew her knee out.
I think it was broke her leg.
No, I thought it was because it was she tore her ACL, her MCL. I'll find it real quick. It was whatever it is. Like, it doesn't look as bad as you would think it looks, and she tries to continue on, but it is heartbreaking to watch this. Absolutely heartbreaking.
I thought, let's see here. Well, it's too late to figure this out. I could have sworn that everybody thought, like, it was okay. She suffered a dislocated kneecap and tore MCL and ACL, and completely tore ACL and both meniscus. Yep.
Now, the good part, I guess, is the fact that I guess the repair on the ACL and the meniscus and stuff like that and cleaning it up, good things as far as all of that has gone, I guess, better than that type of thing usually can go. So that's at least one plus. I mean, she has been completely snake bit in the 2 years that she's been with that company. Just it's just horrible.
Yes, that is a terrible, horrible injury. For some reason, I had this impression that, like, they thought it was super bad, but then it was like only a break or something like that, and so it wasn't as bad. But I was wrong. Her entire knee massacred, but hopefully she will be back better than ever. But that's tonight, and we got very little feedback on NXT UK, like virtually none. Most people just saying there's too much stuff. So maybe we'll talk more about this tomorrow. I don't think I'll have time to watch it tonight, but maybe I can. But that's the update. Hey, check out WrestlingObserver.com for more, everybody. There's all sorts of great stuff up there. We are here on this show every day, Monday through Friday, noon Pacific, 3 Eastern, Sundays, 3 Pacific, 6 Eastern. We'll talk to you again next time, Wrestling Observer Live.